Well, good morning. I want to just welcome you in. Who could tell me what it is today?
Father's Day.
Father's Day, all right. And I certainly want to take a moment to welcome all the fathers, but I also want to say this to you, and I really do believe that this is from the Lord. Whether you have ever fathered or parented a child, the Spirit of your Heavenly Father is in you, and through your travels, God uses you in your life to mentor, to nurture, to care, to teach, to instruct. Might be somebody at work. Might be a nephew, a niece. But the Spirit of your Heavenly Father is in you. And He uses you because the Spirit of the Father is in you. You, as well as any man who has given birth to help give birth to a child, fathers. And that it's a wonderful thing. So today, let's just worship the Lord. Let's just bring our hearts before Him. God has something in mind for us today, and all we need to do is to be open to it. So won't you stand with me? We're going to pray, and then we're going to worship. Father, we take this moment. We set it aside for You. Lord, we believe that, God, as we do this, You dwell among us. You dwell within us, but You dwell among us. Where two or more are gathered, O God, we pray and believe that Your presence is among us, that Your Spirit will come down as we worship Your name, as we lift it up high. Lord, we trust that You are going to do something far beyond our ability to do and far beyond our imaginations to imagine, O God. We believe by faith, O God, that every time we come into this place, every time we gather together, Lord, it is an opportunity for You to wrap Your arms around us, Father, and to love us and to transform our lives. Lord, we thank You for taking us as we are, but we thank You all, God, for never being satisfied as a parent to love us and to bring us along and to inform us and to let us know every part of Your will and desire for us as well as Your world. Lord, we thank You for this time. We ask that You anoint it all in the name of our Lord and Savior. And all the people of God said, Amen.
Dad, do you love Mom?
I do.
How much?
Gobs and gobs.
Dad,
mm-hmm.
Do you love my brother?
Connor? I do.
How much?
Gobs and gobs.
Dad,
mm-hmm.
Do you love God?
Yeah.
How much?
Gobs and gobs.
Dad,
uh-huh.
Do you love me? Dad.
I do.
How much? I already know.
Gobs and gobs.
Dad,
mm-hmm.
How much is a gob?
Well, let me put it like this. Your favorite color is yellow. And when you eat those nutter butter cookies, you always scrape the peanut butter out of the middle and you secretly feed it to the dog because you think the dog deserves a treat too. At nighttime, I know before you go to bed, you always pull your Barbies all together because you don't want them to be lonely. And sometimes when you get a little nervous, you bat your eyes like this. They get really, really, really fast. When you're happy and when you're excited, you always twirl your hair right beside your ear. And you love your mama's red earrings. And you always seem to eat your green beans one at a time. You see, my love, I notice you. And I love being your daddy. And I will always be here for you. Even on your best days, maybe on your worst days, your daddy loves you and will always be here for you. And that, my dear, that's what a gob is.
I gob you too, Daddy.
I always notice you. I always take notice of you. pretty incredible. And that's exactly the way God loves us. And I know maybe sometimes it's hard for us to imagine because we're grown-ups and we're adults. But in God's eyes, he sees us just as lovely and as beautiful as that little girl. And so you all have the definition of gobs, right? Yeah. I think that the two of them could work on their aim, don't you think? But I don't think that was the important part. The important part is the message. And that's what we need to focus on. Yeah. We're going to dismiss the teens now as they go to be together next door. God is forever taking notice of us. And as I've been thinking about this Father's Day, I've been searching my heart and saying, what would I want for us? What would I want for us, you know, to receive, to understand today? And I think that they really touched on that in the video. To understand that God is always taking notice of us. And as I continue with the Holy Spirit and he changes everything, I want to touch on the availability of the Father, the available Father, because I believe that God is always not only aware of us, but he is, in order to be that, he is always available. We're always within his sight. There's never a time that we're out of his sight, and that is all accomplished by his presence that he's placed inside of us, almost like a homing device, you know? Like a tracking device. God's placed his presence in us, and there isn't a place that we can go that he's not aware of, right? David said in the Psalms, he could be up on high, could be down on low, but it doesn't matter. Regardless of where he is, God is fully aware of him. And so I want to look at that with you today. As men on Father's Day, I'm thinking that just maybe there's something that will catch you in the message today that will kind of hook you and say, you know what? I can do that. Or I can be a little better when it comes to that area of my life, when it comes to my children and to what I do at home. But for the rest of you, for the women, who should not be and will never be ignored, as children of God, to be aware that the Father is constantly, constantly on his perch, looking out and seeing your needs, seeing your struggles, seeing your heartaches, seeing whatever that you're going through. God is aware, and it's simply because he is available. And to say that God is available says to us that we, as children, are not fatherless. We're not fatherless. It's not as if we were without a father. And you know, in times past, or even today and present, what happens to children when they are without parents or parental care? They're orphaned. But listen to what John writes concerning us. John 14:18. I will not leave you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. In Jesus saying that, it was in his preparation to go. And how important it was for him to convey that even though he was physically going, he would not leave us. He would not leave the world. That he wasn't going to leave us as orphans, left to somebody else's care, left to strangers, left in a home that may or may not be welcoming, left with adults that may not necessarily have our best interest in mind. We will not be left fatherless. We will not be left orphans. And quite often, in an orphan's life, there's fear of the unknown. How long will I be cared for in this home? Now, many of us probably can't relate to that because we were born into a home with one set of parents, and we were never displaced. But for an orphan, it's not so. There's fear. There's apprehension. What will tomorrow bring? Will I be loved? Will I be cared for? Or maybe it was something like what Pastor Nick read in our prayer time this morning, that with God's love, it's over us. It's not based on performance. How often have you and I have felt in this world under the sight of others that we're good is our last move, that we're loved based on our performance at work or wherever. It's not a good feeling. It's conditional. That very well could be the life of an orphan. It's very unsure. And so God tells us, I will not leave you as orphans. Now listen to what Paul later writes in Romans 8:15. Since we're not left as orphans, it's because God has placed the Spirit. Paul goes on to build on that. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery, or to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption as sons, and may I add, daughters, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. God has taken us in, and he has not given us a spirit of fear, because the home that he has provided for us is secure, it's solid, it's safe. There is nothing to be afraid of. And I would say to you that if any time that we fall into a place of fear, it's because we have, in our own minds and thoughts and hearts, have kind of strayed away from the fact that God is over us and loves us, and that he cares so deeply for us. But he's saying to us, I have not given you a spirit of fear. Where you were once a slave to fears or to any sin, I want to tell you that you're free from that, because I have taken you into my home, into my heart. I've adopted you, and it's with that spirit that you belong to me. The Father has and continually goes out of his way to watch over us. And I want to just say this to you, that if John 3:16 doesn't convey that, I don't know what verse does. That God should so love the world, which includes you and I, that he would send his only begotten Son, that whoever should believe in him should have eternal life. I thought this week in a way that I've never thought before, but Jesus, on that day, being sent to the cross, on the same day as two other people would hang, one to each side of him, on the same day, that God would care and even include those two men in that moment of time, giving them an opportunity. Because on any given day, they could have been crucified alone with absolutely no interaction with Christ. But yet God arranged for them to meet up and have an opportunity, to which one received and one didn't, to which one believed and the other didn't. But how much did God care enough to even in his sight and in his heart look at these two men? You see, this is a God who reaches down and makes himself available to us, to everyone, and to the world. It's a God who cares and continually seeks to provide for us. And I don't know about you, but it's very easy to lose sight of that in a world that we live in today, when the cost of everything, especially on Long Island, is continually going up. That he would provide for us and care for us, that he knows our every need, and that he goes out of his way to meet that need. Look at Psalm 32:8 with me. Here's a God that cares, provides, and guides. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you, and here's my favorite part, with my eye upon you. With my eye upon you. In other words, you know, at times we can give instructions to somebody, yeah, go over there and do this, I need that taken care of, right? Or teach somebody, hey, I want you to review this, I'll be back, we'll go over it together. And even counsel. And yet God says that he does all these things as he keeps an eye on us, as he comes and he stands up alongside of us and he puts his arm around us, caring for us, guiding us, teaching us, protecting us, up close and personal, and always available. Available to keep watch available to protect, available to guide. Look at Isaiah 41:10 with me. Fear not. Isn't it easy to become afraid? Fear not. Why? Because I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. In other words, I am your Father. And I will strengthen you, and I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Every moment, every opportunity of every day, God is able to meet us exactly where we are. So as not to fall into fear, because any one of us can. Bad news can grip a heart quickly. Disappointment. How easy it is to become discouraged and dismayed. How easy it is to become downcast and saddened. Life is full of it. Every day, all you have to do is turn on the radio, put the TV on, catch the news. It's one bad message after another, one sad story after another. And some of them strike closer to home than others. But God is saying, fear not, because I am with you. And the thing is, are we taking hold of that belief? That God is actually with me. In my darkest moments, in my saddest times, in my struggling moments, when the pieces are not fitting together very well, or I've misplaced a piece. I just can't find the piece, can't find the answer to this situation, to this problem. He says, I am with you. I am with you. Be not dismayed. I am your God. I am your Father. And I will help you. I will uphold you. And then there's the other side of love, which I don't know about you, is not always the favorite side of love, but it's certainly a necessary part of love. God is always available to discipline us. I have to say that I probably would have turned out a lot worse if I wasn't disciplined, right? It's the other side of love. We should never think that because we are disciplined or because we have been placed in a position to discipline children or a niece or a nephew, that it's not a good thing. Where would any of us be if we were not disciplined as we were raised by our natural parents? And I want to say to you, where would we be today if God didn't care enough to take the time out to discipline you and I? Listen to what it says in Hebrews 12:6. For the Lord disciplines the ones he loves and chastises every son or daughter whom he receives. Whom he receives. Because he has taken us into his heart, he cares enough to discipline us. And that in itself is a statement of love. I care for you so much that I will not let you go down that path too far. I care about you and love you so much that I want to stop what's going on in your life. Sometimes God, we identify when God puts that love in our lives. At one time in my ministry, there was a woman who was going to do something that I knew would not only shatter her but others. And as I spent time with her, it dawned on me. Something dawned on me that God was sharing with me, and so I shared it with her. I said, you're at the station. You're going to buy a ticket. And you can buy a ticket for one train or another. And I'm really encouraging you to buy a ticket to the other train. Don't board that train. Don't do it. And I think quite often God says to us, don't go down that path. Rethink this. Contemplate what I have said to you. Listen to my counsel. Take my advice because it comes from a heart that is filled with love for you. Now, I don't know about you, but this week kind of gave me cause to think about my own childhood, and actually when I was a teen. Now, my dad was 4'11", but Don't underestimate his size. As the story goes, that he was pretty tough when he was younger. In fact, I later found out when I grew up that he had his nose broken in a fight because he was involved with a gang. And in any case, he and I met up years later when he had kind of settled down and married and began to raise a family. But I remember a couple of times when I crossed him. In other words, I did something that was displeasing to him. And I'll never forget, it was in the driveway of our home in Queens Village. And I forget what I said to him or what I did. But I'm telling you, all he did was, and I call it the finger crunch, kicking the seat in the pants. He grabbed my fingers, and I don't know if you've ever had this, but he curled my fingers up underneath my fist. And as I felt the pain of my fingers crunching, I turned my back like this, and I got the kick in the seat of my pants. And it was enough at that moment to register with me that something was wrong, that I had crossed the line. And I want to tell you, those times are far and few in my life with my dad. But it stuck, and I'll never forget it, because he cared enough to give me the finger crunch and the kick in the seat of my pants. And then when I was a little bit older, and I have to confess to you that it was not one of my better moments as an adolescent, as a teen, I will just say this, that I wasn't always in the right state of mind when it came to the relationships with my families. And it was a day when my mother confronted me because my room was a little untidy. And because I wasn't in the right state of mind, I went back at her. Now, the thing is, Mom was like about 5'4", 5'5". So you know when you get up to a tree and you stand right in front of that tree, how you can see nothing behind the tree? It's almost like if you were playing hide and seek, you would think that you were hiding and nobody can see you because you can't see them, but they can see you, right? Well, this was the scenario. As my mother and I were in confrontation with one another, and she got closer to me and I got closer to her, that my father, who was much shorter than her, came up from behind her, although I didn't see him, until he stepped in between us and he gave me the shove. And I went back. And I want to tell you, at that moment, you may think this is silly, you may be able to relate, maybe you can't, but something snapped. And it wasn't a bone in my arm or my back or anything like that when he shoved me, but something snapped in my heart. And I began to realize that there was something really wrong. Not with Mom and her demands, but with me. And that I needed to stop and consider the direction of my life. And I have to tell you, it was actually a turning point for me. It was like, because my father stepped in and got my attention, my heavenly father started to begin to work in my heart. It was a life-changing moment, a real life-changing moment. And I think there are times in our lives God wants us to have that life-changing moment. And we should never stop and think, well, you know, I know the Lord. I've accepted him 1980, 1985, 2000. God wants to give us life-changing moments still today because through his Spirit, through the power of his Spirit, he has come to transform our lives, and it's just not a one-shot deal. Our Heavenly Father loves us so much that he wants to continue his work of transformation in each of our lives. And sometimes we need to experience the shove. We need to get pushed a little in order to grasp that something needs to change. Something within me needs to change. I just need to find out what it is. Oh, God. Now, I realized that as I was preparing for today, that as I was speaking to you, that each of us have had different experiences with our earthly fathers. Each of us. Some harder, some easier, some better, some worse. But God has always been involved. Always. Regardless of what our experiences have been. And I want to say to you that I believe Psalm 68:5 captures it when it says, God is a father to the fatherless. And what do I mean by that when I share it with you? Because many of us are sitting here and that we were not fatherless. But I want to say to you, if God is the God of the fatherless, that is a child who has no father, he is equally the God of the child who has experienced different brokenness in his upbringing or her upbringing. You see, because every parent, no matter how godly, no matter how faithful to God, we all are made with the same material. We are all fragile. We're all weak. We're all prone to making mistakes. We all fall short. The only one that doesn't is our Heavenly Father. And I want to say to you that regardless of what your experience was growing up with your earthly dad, God has been over it. And he is able and has been, I would encourage you to reflect on this during the week. He has been filling in those voids. He has been filling in those cracks. Wherever your earthly father may have fallen short, God was right there. And he is still there because some of us carry those marks with us. But God is no less involved now that we're much older because we're still his children. The God who is the father to the fatherless is the same God who is the father to those of us who maybe feel like we were lacking something growing up, that we could have used a little something more, that we might have missed something. Maybe we kind of think that when we hear other people's stories about their dads and how they grew up. And God is able to fill those voids and fill those cracks because he has given us his Holy Spirit. He's given us his Spirit. And that means that each and every day of our lives, he is available to us through his Spirit because his Spirit dwells within us. Right? Now, before we go, I want to share how we can embrace that and understand that better. Galatians 4:6 says it this way, as Paul writes, "And because you are sons," and I'll add daughters, "God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father." Many of you know that the term Abba, Father is Daddy. Daddy. Daddy, thank you for putting your presence in our lives and in our hearts, that you have made your place in our lives, that we belong to you, that wherever we go, our Heavenly Father is watching over us and dwelling with us. He has sent his Spirit in us. Look at Luke 11:13. I want to say to you, we need to be mindful and conscious to ask God, "If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" As I said to you last week we celebrated Pentecost Sunday. We talk about the Holy Spirit coming. But how often are we in the process taking the time out in our prayers and asking God for the Holy Spirit? I have to tell you, that was very much a part of my time with God all week long this week. Kind of living what I shared with you last week. Calling upon God, "Lord, I need your Holy Spirit. I need your guidance here. I'm uncertain. I'm unsure. I don't feel. Lord, I need your Holy Spirit." Asking over and over and over again. Every time we fall short, asking God for his Holy Spirit. Every time where we see we kind of blown it, asking for the Holy Spirit. Every time we don't understand something, asking for the Holy Spirit, because in doing so, we're asking the help of our Father. "Father, I'm stuck again. Father, I'm lost again. Father, I'm confused. I'm confused and I need your help." And every time we ask, as Jesus instructed in Luke, God will give us what we need. Because if we, as human beings, who fall far short of the glory of God, can give good gifts to our own children, how much more will your Heavenly Father provide what you need? And all we need to do is ask. And every time you and I ask for the Holy Spirit, we are asking for the presence of our Father to come and to help us through a time, to give us clarity, to guide us, to protect us, whatever it is that we need. And I want to say to you, that had become the lifestyle of those Jesus called to his side to follow him. It was their life. They just learned that in every instance, no matter how much they fell short in their faith, how many times did Jesus would say, "Oh, ye of little faith," every time they fell short, every time they missed the mark, they knew enough to go back to him. They knew enough to take hold of him. They knew enough to follow regardless. And there was a time where Jesus himself confronted them with a question, because it was a time when so many around Christ were leaving him, were taking off. And there was a sense of discouragement, I think, for some of them. And listen to the question that Jesus poses in John chapter 6, verse 67. So Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well? Do you want to go away as well?" In other words, do you want to leave too? So many others are. But there was an experience, there was a truth, there was a reality in the midst of the other reality, in the midst of the reality that others were leaving, that took hold of them. And I have to say that verse 68 is one of my favorite disciple responses. Listen to what Peter says. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." You have the words of eternal life. In other words, everything that we need is found in you. Everything that we could ever truly need is in you. You provide, you protect, you see us through our days. You know our every move. You know our every pain. You count every tear. We are precious to you. Where else are we going to go? Where else? That's something that was planted in them by the Father in heaven. Something that they held on to. That, in other words, nothing was going to rock their world. And they were not going to let go. And over time, it would be proven out. Over time, it would be the very thing that would keep them in Jerusalem to be able to receive the Holy Spirit. Over time, it would be the thing that would keep them as they walked out their lives. And each and every one of them, except for two, died a martyr's death. They would not let go. They would continue to follow. They would know that the presence of the Father was deep within them. And it held them. And it was secure. So we leave today, I want to leave you with one question, or maybe a couple. Are you aware? Are we aware as a people just how much God loves us? How much he's provided for us? Because I think everything in our culture seems to want to blind us of that fact. And leave us wanting, leave us questioning, leave us struggling. I want to leave you with one verse before we pray. Psalms 145:18. Listen, the Lord is near. That's easy to identify, I think, as we sit here together. But as you leave here today and you go home, the Lord is near. Whatever tomorrow, or Tuesday, or Wednesday, or Thursday, or Friday, or Saturday brings, the Lord is near. He is never far off. He is near to all who call on him. There are so many things that we can get engaged in our life, with our lives. Are we seeking him? Are we saying, I have a father who loves me, and I can turn to him, and I'm going to. I don't feel right physically. I'm going to turn to him. Something is perplexing me emotionally. I'm going to turn to him. Something happened at work. Something happened in the family. I'm going to turn to him. He never tires of his children coming to him and asking for help and calling upon him. Who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. Lord, here I am. Here I am. This is my life. This is where I'm at right now. I come to you as I am. This is what I've done. This is what I've said. This is what I've been experiencing. This is where I fell short. This is where I missed the mark. And he's never the kind of father that says, again? You missed it again? When are you going to get this right? How many times do we have to go through this? It's just a God who loves us. And it's all through the fact that he has given us his presence. And he refuses to be separated from us. Refuses. Because he loves us, gobs and gobs. And just as that father took notice of every movement of his little girl, her favorite color, how she reacts when she's excited, when she's frightened, the things that she cares for, like her Barbie dolls, took notice of everything, every little aspect of his daughter's life. God takes notice of every one of our aspects of our lives because we're precious in his sight. Let's prepare our hearts for prayer. Pastor Nick is going to come, and we're going to close in worship. But I want to pray with you. If there's any doubt in our mind today, if there's any trouble, any confusion, that our Father is well aware of our frame, our weaknesses, now is the time to bring them to him. Oh God, here we are. Lord, you see us as we are, but we want to come to you in truth and plainly say from our hearts what is going on right now. Take a moment. Is there one thing that you want to bring before him? One thing you want to lay before him that you need his touch upon, that you could use his understanding, some clarity, to know that he understands what you're feeling. He understands the pain, the ache, that he cares. Now's the time. Oh, Father, here it is. You've known it. You see it. But I want to bring it to you. I want to lay it at your feet. willingly, obediently. Father, we trust you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for never taking your eye from us. Thank you for placing your Holy Spirit in us. I pray, oh God, that as we continue down this path, that we would ask more often for your presence to fill us over and over again, that we would be refreshed and aware. Oh God, and that we would watch you do wonderful things in and through our lives, that we would know that we could trust you. Continue to transform our lives, oh Lord. And oh God, in times when you need to get our attention, Lord, discipline us. Let us know, because we want to walk with you. We want to know you better. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for listening.
Remember that our prayer room is open if you want to have prayer. Find your way back there or come to any one of us, and we'll be glad to sit and pray with you.
I want to learn to appreciate more in every way. I want to learn to walk with you, Lord, day by day. With you always there to guide me, hand in hand, close beside me, walking in the Spirit day by day. I want to learn to appreciate you more. I want to learn to walk with you, Lord, day by day. With you always there to guide me, hand in hand, close beside me, walking in the Spirit day by day.
Father, we thank you for your Spirit, who leads and guides and directs, who teaches and reproves and corrects. Lord, we need you every day. Help us to walk with you, led by your Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.